Hello and welcome to an update episode of This Is Not a Drill. I'm Gavin Essler. In our previous podcast, we reported on a new era of espionage as the CIA and other US government intelligence agencies warned publicly of an increasingly fragile global order. Meanwhile, in Europe, from Ukraine to the Baltic and beyond, Russian intelligence operatives have been increasingly active and menacing. But then, on Friday, March 22nd, more than 130 people were killed in Russia itself. Gunmen attacked the audience in the Crocus Concert Hall, just 12 miles from the Kremlin. Islamic State claimed responsibility. Four men from Tajikistan were arrested and brutally treated by the Russian authorities. But all this leaves many more questions than answers. Western intelligence agencies actually warned Vladimir Putin's own intelligence agencies, including the FSB, that an Islamist terrorist attack in Russia was imminent. For some inexplicable reason, these warnings were ignored or discounted. For his insight on the attack and what looks like an extraordinary Russian intelligence failure, I'm joined again by the Russian intelligence expert, Andrei Soldatov. Andrei, can we start with what you make of this pretty profound Russian intelligence failure, it would seem, and the Crocus City Hall concert attack? What do you think's been going on there?
Well, I think that you are absolutely correct. It is a failure of the FSB, the main Russian agency in charge of counterterrorism. Unfortunately, it's also a failure of emergency services. More people were killed by fire than by terrorists, which is a horrible, horrible tragedy. Unfortunately, it's not the very first time we see these kind of problems with the Russian counterterrorism response. And it is the same story over and over again. And I've been covering this topic for 20 plus years, and it's still the same problem. It looks like there are some really big problems with the Russian response to these kind of attacks, and it's just there.
Now, of course, any intelligence agency can have an intelligence failure, but the United States in particular is very clear. They warned the Russians about this. So what do you think went wrong there? Is it that actually nobody dares go and say to Vladimir Putin, look, the CIA have just told us something bad's going to happen. Maybe we should do something. I mean, is it really something like that, that humans are frightened within the Russian system of telling the leader that something bad might happen?
Well, first of all, I need to remind our listeners that unfortunately, these kind of things happen. And I remember quite well what in 2013, in the United States, there was this horrible attack, so-called Boston bombings, and the Russians, specifically the FSB, sent several letters to the Americans. It was quite embarrassing for the FBI because it looked like they missed this warning. The problem was that with the FSB and their letters 10 years ago, it was not actually about a real warning. What actually the FSB wanted to get and why they sent all these letters, they asked for information on these two brothers who eventually attacked the marathon in Boston. They didn't provide any information. As far as I understand, now it is a slightly different situation. The Americans did send some information. The head of the FSB said that, look, this information was not detailed, so they couldn't act upon this information, which to me sounds a bit hypocritical because, of course, you never get a full picture. You always get a tip, and then you just need to, well, to decide whether you think it worth it to act upon it and ask your people, order your people to go and investigate the warning, or you think it's absolutely nothing. And of course, in the climate we have now in Russia, when to be suspected of being too close to the Americans might be quite dangerous. Thinking about some unfortunate officer of the FSB who was put in a position basically to make a case for the Americans that they are trustworthy and they need to do something because they got this information.
Yeah, I can see how that would be very difficult. But what is it? There are a lot of things extraordinary about this. For instance, the four men arrested from Tajikistan have been brutally treated, but publicly brutally treated. Somebody has leaked the pictures, they've been everywhere, and then we've seen them in court with smashed up faces, apparently an ear torn off. I mean, do the Russian authorities want to boast about how cruel they can be?
First of all, it is completely unprecedented. So we know, of course, that Russia's security services have been torturing suspects for quite a long time, but never before the footage of these horrible things were leaked. My guess and my suspicion is that, unfortunately, it was not completely irrational. It's not only an act of revenge, and it's not only about emotions. It looks like there are two target audiences for this kind of messaging. One is old people who are found themselves on the opposite side of the Kremlin. And we all know that these days the list of terrorist organizations in Russia include many, many people who have nothing to do with terrorism. For instance, LGBTQ community, Navalny supporters, all kinds of activists. And the message is very clear. Now these methods are used against terrorism suspects. Tomorrow they could be used against you. So it is a pure intimidation. And there is a second audience for this kind of narrative and messaging. And this is the Russian military and Russian security services who are now operating in Ukraine. And the message is, look, we know what you are doing. We know that you are extremely brutal, and we are okay with that. This is a new norm for us and for you, and we approve of it.
I wondered how to sum up the result of this. Will it be more repression at home? Because Putin has failed or seems to be failing in Ukraine, and he's failed to guarantee security domestically, it's difficult to see how else he's going to respond. And continuing to blame Ukraine for something which seems to have absolutely nothing to do with them is part of the mix.
These times are extremely depressing because it looks like every time Putin finds himself in some trouble, and we see that he has a huge problem with security in the country, and that was his main selling point to Russian audience for all these years. He was selling stability and security. And now, while with terrorist attacks and drone attacks and all refineries being set on fire almost on a daily basis, well, obviously, Russian audience and Russian population, they do not have that stability and security. The usual way Putin responds to this is more repression. And actually, he indicated that even before this attack, he said that basically he is ready to send people after those Russians who changed sides. Now there is a conversation about what people who might be suspected of helping terrorists, they should be killed wherever they could be found. Again, it's a hint that Russian security services would be given more free hand abroad, not only in the country. And it's always a bad news for Russian society, once again, because once you have some methods adopted for use against terrorism suspects, literally tomorrow they are used against people who just have to be a different opinion from Putin and his people.
It does seem ludicrous, though, when you have got four people from Tajikistan who've been arrested and apparently arrested on site, for Vladimir Putin even to try to blame Ukraine. Do you think, I mean, around the world people see through this. Do you think most Russians see through it as well? It's nonsense.
It sounds like nonsense, but I suspect that many people in Russia would accept that. For several reasons. One is that there is a general feeling of xenophobia towards Central Asian workers and migrants cultivated by the Russian authorities for quite some time. And basically up to the point that lots of people I spoke with they believe that people from Central Asia are not capable of organizing such a sophisticated attack. So there should be some ominous hostile force, Ukrainians or maybe the Americans, who are really behind an attack. There are a lot of conspiracy theories traditionally, which are quite popular in Russia, again, because the political climate is such that you cannot have a proper political discussion. So you replace and substitute a real conversation with rumors and gossip and conspiracy theories. Well, Putin knows how to navigate in these waters. He knows how to exploit it. And to be honest, if you look back where he started, I remember that really well. Already in 2000, there was this narrative promoted by Putin that, and back then we had this horrible war in Chechnya, that Chechens were helped and trained by the Americans, and that actually all jihadists we got in Chechnya, they're either agents of Al-Qaeda or CIA or maybe both. That narrative was changed only because of 9/11. But we see that Putin got back to it even before this terrorist attack. If you check his interview with Tucker Carlson, in this conversation, Putin basically is saying that he believes that CIA trained Chechen terrorists and Islamists. So you have all kinds of conspiracy theories here. First of all, that the Americans are actually supporting global terrorism. Second, that all opposition leaders in the country are actually terrorists. And there is no difference between them and people who are kill people in troves. And, well, as I said, it's a very old narrative. It has been always popular with rank and file inside the security services, but it's been also quite popular among many, many Russians. So Putin needs just to evoke this narrative and people would believe it of his.
It's a very sad state of affairs, Andrei. Thank you very much again for your insights and your knowledge. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.